Okay, here we go. Let me just turn this local volume down here a tad. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer engineer, Bill Proposky, and we've got our usual. We're going to do some weird stuff tonight, and just kind of freewheel it, and you know, do some freestyle. But Tim has been unavailable the last couple of weeks. And Mr. Kearns, how are you?
I'm very well, Mr. Moore. It was a very nice vacation, warm in Arizona, but interesting. It was our first time there, and very interesting landscape out in Gilbert, Arizona, just east of Phoenix. We flew into Phoenix Airport. My brother lives about 30 minutes away, and even though there is an airport like within like 10 minutes of him, but it's not smaller. It has a 10,000-foot runway because it is the site of the former Williams Air Force Base, and that's where the, you can still get a lot of military jets flying in there, so it was entertaining, you know. And, but hot, most days were at or over 100 degrees.
Hmm. Well, they must. Everything must be central air.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you go from the air-conditioned plane to the air-conditioned airport to an air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned apartment. Yeah.
What's it like at night in terms of temperature?
Oh, in the 90s and maybe the high 80s.
Well, I remember.
Oh, big time, let me tell you.
My dad was in the Army, and I remember when we returned from Germany in 19... I think we returned in September or October. It was September, the missile crisis is when it took place in October in Texas. And I remember swimming outside, which was a new experience for me, in November and December because it was so hot at night, you know, in the swimming pool. So,
I
remember that, and that was...
me and my sister-in-law, they would take it out of the pool during the day. My brother and I went down one time. We sat in the shade and played cribbage.
Well, cribbage. Okay, good. My wife wants to. We'll have to get a hold of you guys and play cribbage team. I was talking to support one time for our website. This was this past summer. And in Gloucester, it got up to about 78 or 80 degrees with humidity. And, of course, we were boiling. So the man I was talking to in support was a really cool guy. I said, where are you? And he says, well, I'm in New Mexico. And I said, oh, really? I said, what's the temperature down there? And he said, he gave a number like 109 or something like that. And I said, man, it got up to almost 80 degrees here in Gloucester. We're dying with the heat. And he laughed. He said, if it gets down to 80, we put jackets on.
Oh, yeah. People that were complaining how cool it was, and I'm like, cool. Complaining about it being cool. Not right with those people.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Coach, this is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We have Mike Grenier and Steve Krause, our usual sports writers, lined up for tonight. And as I said, it's just going to be just fly by the seat of your pants this evening. I do have a couple of high school scores, very, very limited tonight. In field hockey, Newburyport 6, Essex Tech 0, Hamilton Wenham 1, Rockport 0, and Manchester Essex 1, Ipswich 0. Those are finals in field hockey. And in volleyball, it's Linfield 3, Georgetown 0. Up on the website, we do have an interview today with the coach of Hamilton Wenham Volleyball. They're playing Ipswich tonight. Ipswich unbeaten 16-0, number 1 in Division 3. And Hamilton Wenham, I believe, is number 8. They're 14-5. So big game there in volleyball. But we do have a website. We do have a post up with the Hamilton Wenham coach on that prior to tonight's game. There's another interview up there that I just listened to with St. John's Prep football coach Brian St. Pierre about that amazing game that the Prep had with Catholic Memorial on Saturday. And that was something. It's funny. Coach St. Pierre said, well, you know, it was a great high school game, and he was understating it. It was a great game, period. It was just an absolute classic football game that the Prep finally beat CM in that game, and Bill Newell talks with Coach St. Pierre about that. That's up on the website as well. All right. So, T, Tim, we're going to talk with Mike and, you know, and Steve later. And one of the topics that Steve recommended a few weeks ago was talking about an unfairly, who was the most unfairly aligned athlete or athletes in the area. We can get to that later or now. But I want to ask you maybe your first thoughts on sports that comes to mind, and it can be in whatever sport that you, you've been following lately.
As far as somebody being treated badly? Or
just no. Just at the top of your mind, what have you been watching? What interests you at the moment? What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, as a New England fan, of course, I'm following the Patriots, and, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, everybody is so down on them, and but what they tend to forget is we had a 20-plus year run of excellence, and yet Tom Brady had a major role in it, no doubt. And you know, we had good teams prior to that as well, and we have to understand that everybody runs a little dry, and you can look back to the great teams in the 70s, the Pittsburghs, well, they struggled. You look back into the 80s and the Niners, and they struggled. And the 90s was kind of a mishmash. We had a lot of good teams, but any team that was good in the 90s has struggled. And the Pats got, you know, 20 years of excellence. And, you know, you didn't have to win the Super Bowl every single year, but you had to be able to perform at a level. And they certainly did for an awful long time. And I think people just forget that, and they just want that to go on and on and on forever. Well, the road doesn't always go on and on forever. There is a bend in the road. There are dips in the road. There are stop signs on the road where you have to reevaluate your talent. You have to do a reloading of your talent, and that's where the paths are right now. And you know, you have to have patience. And I think the most patient person, and I'm sure he's shown it, but I think everybody thinks he's tearing down walls, is Bill Belichick. He has to be frustrated because he led, you know, one of the best franchises in the history of the NFL. He still continues to lead it. He's going to continue to lead it if the contract talks is correct. So, you know, let the man do his thing, you know. We all want to be number one. You know how many number ones there are?
Yep, I do. Yep.
Number one.
I'm a math teacher. I can figure that one out.
Yeah, I knew you asked.
Well, you know, Tim, you know what?
And look at the last few years. I mean, Kansas City has been dominant, you know, regular season, but, you know, and they've won a couple of championships, but, you know, they haven't gone on a long streak. They're real good. They're really talented, you know, and we used to be that way. Well, we could be that way again. Just sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and let it get here.
I think what's happened, though, from my perspective, being a really an old timer now, there's no question. And you know, I mean, the first 40 years of the Patriots just they bled me dry, and then the next 20 years were just incredible. And you know, you and I know that the New York Yankees, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, dynasties. It's a once in a lifetime, maybe even more than that, once in more than a lifetime event. We had that with the Patriots. We had it for a little bit less with the Red Sox. But what I think is missing, Tim, is that the joy of watching sports is gone. And I ascribe that to talk radio mostly. Because I just listened today. I haven't listened in weeks, but I listened today, and on both Boston talk radio stations, they were tearing the Patriots to shreds for yesterday's performance, and they were tearing Mac Jones' performance to shreds. And I was watching the game yesterday in the first quarter when they led, first of all, when they led 3-0, I said to myself, you know what? They may get bombed 63-3, but I'm going to enjoy this first quarter. This is nice. Then they went up 10, then they went up 10-0. And then, you know, late in the game, when Josh Allen led the attack, you know, the comeback, which what we've seen that for 20 years with Brady, I'm thinking, okay, it's Buffalo's turn. But the Patriots gave it, and this has been entertaining. And lo and behold, the Patriots pulled it out. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the joy of watching sports. Man, it doesn't have anything to do with Tim, today, every single play was diagnosed by these people on talk radio that they coulda, shoulda, woulda. And it's like, have you ever played sports? Do you understand you can't make every play every single time?
Well, that's the thing. You look at Felt, you're going to go, nah, he didn't make a team. You look at Maserati, he never played. He may have been Waterboy, a team who kept stats, but did he have a start for a team? No. You know, that's why they are where they are, because they couldn't play. So they figured, well, I'll talk about it, and, you know, I can piss people off. You know, Falcon comes from Green Bay. Yeah, they have a long and storied history. But I'll tell you, you know, you look back into the part of the 80s and 90s, the 2000s, they've struggled.
Yep.
They haven't always been great. You know, they've suffered through some times, and they had periods where they were good, but not great. You know, wasn't for Desmond Howard and his two runbacks against the Patriots, we beat them. You know, but what are you going to do? Those things happen. Now, and guys like those two, I don't even listen to them anymore. I just won't listen to them.
I did.
And even Zolak and Bertrand, you know, I like listening to Zolak. Bertrand, I wouldn't give you a nickel for him.
Well,
his opinion.
I listened this morning before the afternoon guys came on because I knew I couldn't take the afternoon guys. But on both channels, on both Boston radio stations, they were just hammering yesterday. And I'm thinking, that was such a fun game to watch. That was fun. You know, they beat Buffalo, and who cares with the mistakes? I mean, I was yelling at them when they kept shooting themselves in the foot, but jeepers, that was entertaining. And it was, from my opinion, it was a good thing to see, and it gives old time fans like me hope. Okay, they did it once, maybe they can do it again.
Well, one of the things, it was funny. My brother came back with this because he's come back to see some friends, and he said, "Well, 145 left," and I said, "You know, in years past, with 145 to go, we didn't worry about it. Could get a guy named Brady."
Yeah,
I just have a quarterback nowadays that can do that. And didn't he get down the field and score a touchdown?
It was a thing of beauty.
You know, because he made a couple of iffy passes beforehand, but Tom Brady wasn't perfect either, but, you know, we just grew to that level of expectation. Oh, well, Tom bad pass. Now we get, you know, Mac Jones makes a bad pass, and it's, oh, my God, another bad pass. But, you know, we're so fatalistic about everything he does. If it's not absolutely picture perfect, in the vein of Tom Brady, let the kid breathe. You know, it's not fair to the kid.
I agree. You know? All right, let's take a break, Tim. We'll see if we can get Steve on board. All right, so let me get this going here. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports, and we'll be right back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we did not make connections with Steve Krause. Hopefully he'll give us a buzz here soon. But you may hear a busy signal soon. I don't know. I don't quite know how to figure that out when it doesn't work that way. Anyway, I thought it was an entertaining game. It was cool. But a lot going on in the world of sports. I mean, we've got the baseball playoffs. Have you been following that at all, Tim?
A little bit. My brother and I were out there watching because he's you know, he's an Arizona fan. And he was watching the game that's running on now quite intensely, so...
Well, because my daughter went to school down there, and because of Barry Hanrahan, dropping the name again, I like watching the Phillies. And boy, if we could only get guys like Kyle Schwarber, huh?
Hey, listen, I would take Tommy Pham the way he said.
Oh, I'm telling you, geez. And what's the other guy there, Harper? Oh, my God. Geez. Oh, and what about Eovaldi? Why can't we get guys like that? He would be. Oh, man. Yeah, it's fun to watch. Both games are on tonight, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Phillies are on now, and then Houston, Texas is on at 8 o'clock.
All right. I'm going to go back to Steve's suggestion the other day there about most unfairly maligned athletes. And, Tim, you know the first name that came to mind for me, and you won't believe it, most maligned Boston athlete? No guess.
I do have one, and we all felt bad for him at the time, and most people did. But he did come back to Boston and was graciously accepted when he did come back. And do you know who it is?
Well, the name that comes to mind is Jimmy Pearsall, but that can't be right.
Oh no, not Pearsall. Pearsall was a kook. No, he wasn't a kook. He was, I guess we would say eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Who are we talking about?
Bill Bucker, you know?
Yeah.
But the guy I blame for that mistake is, the manager at the time, wasn't Darryl Johnson.
I don't remember.
Oh, who was the manager in 86? Oh, I should know this. John McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
All during the season, late innings, Buckner came out.
I'll call you back, Steve.
Dave Stapleton went into play first base.
Yeah, I'll call you right back. Sorry, Tim. Go ahead. Steve called me on the phone. Yep.
Fox had the lead, and McNamara left him in there because, I owe it to my veterans to have them close the game out.
Yeah.
Well, you got to that game because you had done this all season long. And, yeah, he's trying to get the out. He made the mistake. You never pick your head up. He looked at the runner. The ball goes through his legs, and, Dixie by the door, the Red Sox lost, and then they lost the next day.
But they didn't lose the game because of that error, and they didn't lose the series because of that error. That's where I think it's really unfair.
You have reached
the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your...
Oh, man. All right. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. We're going to fix this here right now. This is what I was afraid was going to happen. All right. Well, I don't know what's going on, but I can't get a hold of him. Steve?
Hi, this is Steve Krause.
Are you kidding me? All right, let's get rid of that. I don't get it. I don't understand. Let's see. So let's go back. Hello, who is this?
Yeah, this is Steve. Crazy things happening with my phone. I'm sorry.
No, it's don't worry about it. I'm doing crazy things on this end. I just cut Tim off, and he's going to be so angry. Hold on, I'll get right back to you, Steve. Be right back.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm back.
All right, Tim. I had a real problem. Steve is with us. Steve, you there?
I'm here.
All right, you guys go at it. What's on your mind, Steve? Tim was just we just talked about very quickly a most maligned athlete, and he came up with a name that really makes sense was Bill Buckner. But we're just clearing out the attic today. What's on your mind?
Well, to that end, first of all, and I don't know where this is going to lead, but I can't get too upset with Buckner. So I got to kind of agree that he was very badly maligned in general and very badly served by certain people in the media who just never stops bringing it up. He's a worthy guy, you know, he was a good player. I mean, the year that happened, he knocked in over 100 runs. So it's not like he didn't have anything to do with them being there. And I just thought, you know, it was just an error. Unfortunately, it was an error that he made at the worst possible time. But it wasn't something that nobody's done 1,000 times before. So I felt bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Tim does too.
But you know, I'm going to bring out a name here that's probably nobody thought of that I thought was really unfairly maligned when he was here. And that's Reggie Smith.
Hmm. Good one.
Reggie Smith. Reggie Smith was a damn good ball player. You know, he was a switch hitter, hit for power both ways. He was fast. You know, he was a good base runner. He had a gun for an arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he could go get him in the outfield. What was not to like? But, you know, Reggie was one of these people that, you know, he came along in this city a little too early, you know, for the great racial awakening, if I can just use that expression. And I think a lot of what motivated him and what angered him and caused him to speak out at the same time was racism. It was what he perceived to be racism anyway. I don't want to put the blame on the entire city of Boston here. But, and I think it soured him. And I think it distracted him and caused some of the things that ultimately happened. But, you know, when this guy, Tim remembers, and I'm sure you remember too quick, this guy could play.
Oh, yeah.
He could play. And
he was big-time protection for Yaz during the years he was here.
Right. You know, but there were, you know, that outfield, no matter who they put in right, with Yaz in left and Reggie in center, there wasn't much those two together weren't going to be able to run down. And even after they moved Yaz to first base, having Reggie in center protected both those corner outfielders from having to do too much, you know, in the order of running too far out of their way to get things.
Well,
the only problem with Reggie is that Reggie, from time to time, you know, was like Vertigo, as I call him, Verdugo. You know, you didn't see the hustle all the time, and I think that probably soured a lot of fans on him. But sometimes I think you have to stop and ask why these things happened, and. You know, nothing happens in a vacuum. And there's always a why and a wherefore for things that happen. So that's why I'm going with the Reg. I think if Reggie had been left alone and played his career here, he would have been in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. And for all anybody knows, he would have been in the Hall of Fame.
He threw a ball from center field one time, guys. I'll never forget it. I was watching on TV. He was back at the triangle. And I don't know if he caught it in the air. I can't remember. Or if it was, you know, off the wall type thing. But he threw to home plate one hop from the triangle. And it was on an absolute rope, and he threw the runner out. And I've never seen an arm. I've never seen a throw like that before or since.
There was another time that I remember they were playing the Orioles, and they were actually 1-2, with the Orioles, of course, being one. And there was like 4-game difference or something like that. They were playing Baltimore, and he's in center field, and some guy, I forget who it was, hits a medium fly ball to right field. And this is right field. This isn't right center. This is right field. Reggie gets on his butt. He goes over there. He waves the right fielder off, catches the ball, and throws a strike to home plate to get the double play.
Yep.
No, he just had that, you know, he was, I liked him, and I always say that, you know, his career here was too bad. They actually wound up trading him, and they got Rick Wise, which wasn't a bad deal at the time. Wise pitched well for the Red Sox, but I just wish he had been able to stay here. You know, he was just another one of those guys that just, unfortunately, felt the lash a little too hard, you know, and it affected the way he played. But well, I think people, there are some people in this city that kind of have to look in the mirror a little bit and wonder whether they contributed to that.
Interesting. All right, now, go ahead.
21-year-old kid, so what does I know? But, you know, that's how I saw it anyway.
Tim and I were mulling over yesterday's Patriots game. What are your thoughts on that? And you can hash it out with Tim.
What are my thoughts on that? Well, I'll tell you, I think Mac Jones saved his job for a month, is what I think. I think that if Mac Jones had another game like he had against the Raiders, they would have gone out and got some retread quarterback to finish out the season and stuck him on the bench. I still think it's not over with him. I mean, they're probably going to get clobbered next week in Miami, regardless of how well he plays. Because even when they play well, they lose in Miami. So, and I don't think that's going to be a fair test if they're testing him on that. But I still think that he's going to have to make some people, you know, show some people that, you know, this wasn't a one-shot deal. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that was the Mac Jones I'm sure they drafted. And that's the Mac Jones I'm sure that Bill O'Brien planned that offense for, because they trotted out some plays yesterday that they have not trotted out. And
yeah,
Jones looked very good executing them. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he was much more definitive in executing the play. And I wanted them, in fact, I was yelling at the TV in the fourth quarter for them to play faster, play with them a little bit more tempo, because they were just watching it up, and it's like they were almost falling asleep waiting for the play to begin. I'm going, go faster, go faster, go faster. Keep that tempo, because they'd have it, they'd have some, and then they just wait. They let the air out of the balloon, then they blow the balloon up and
I will agree that they tried to milk the clock a little too early. But I think that he showed an awful lot to me after Bourne fumbled, and Buffalo ended up going down and scoring for that. I felt bad for Bourne, because Bourne had a great game. And I think that that's one thing that kind of gets overlooked in all of this. And they gave him the two receivers he wants. He wants Bourne, and he wants DeMario Douglas there, pop. And I don't think he wants anybody else except those two. You know, and I don't think he wants Juju. I don't think he wants Devontae. He wants those two, and he got those two. And he was much more comfortable with those two in there. They were much more comfortable. They both played well. And things just happened. And, you know, I felt bad for the defense. They played a great game until those two quick touchdowns, one of which I don't think you can blame them for. But I don't know. I was very impressed with Jones after Bourne's fumble, because he just took over. And, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for him to do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I also think O'Brien called a great game. He pulled some plays out of the fire that I don't think he would have did pull, you know, up until now. So who knows, maybe everybody's finally getting comfortable with everybody. And who knows, maybe this is the start of something good. You know, if they go down there and beat Miami next week, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, the thing they got to do is you know, score points early. They need to score points early and just get a jump on Miami and make Miami at least think, you know. So
yeah, they got to make Miami play a different game than they want to play. Because, you know, but, you know, with Tua, you know, throwing bombs down the field is what he does. So, who knows about that either, but whatever it is, they got to get them feeling a little uncomfortable. And, you know, I think that, as a former defensive linebacker, what I'm going to say is this. Nothing makes a team feel more uncomfortable than a teeth-jarring hit somewhere along the way. You know, you knock a couple of people down on their rear ends and rattle their teeth a little bit. That makes them uncomfortable. So I remember one game, Brian Cox did that, and it changed the whole game around.
Yeah.
I think Andre...
Yeah, you get the defense, you know, the defense gets jacked, the offense gets jittery. And, you know, I thought that call in the fourth quarter, calling the linebacker going after the quarterback, that was... I mean, that's Oscar nominee material for Buffalo.
Yeah,
that was one of the greatest takeoffs because his head came, the guy, Patriot's helmet came nowhere near his head, and they threw the flag. I was like,
it's nice to be able to laugh about something like that instead of explode, though, isn't it? I mean, certainly. Those things, you can take them a lot better when you win than you can when you lose.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know, they feel odd. They still aggravate the crap out of you, you know?
Yeah, they're a work in progress. They're not that good. You know, I think that in order for them to win, they have to play, like, mistake-free football. And everybody says that. We've got to play mistake-free football. Well, nobody ever plays mistake-free football. Somebody screws up somewhere. But they're going to have to come closer than anybody to it. I mean, look at no interceptions yesterday, no turnovers, few penalties other than the type you just talked about, you know. You didn't see those annoying offside penalties and, you know, and those are the things that kill you. And they stall drives, and that's what they have to do. And, you know, if they do that and they play like they played yesterday, they're going to win some games. If they don't and they play like they played the last three games, they're going to lose a lot of games. So it's just how they choose to play, that's all. It helped tremendously that they had their regular guys on the line, too.
Yeah,
they had what's his name back there? The guy that never seems to be able to play.
Yeah, Strange was back, and
him. Yeah,
and it was strange to see him out there. I was actually surprised when I saw
him back. But what's the deal with Trent Brown? Is he ever going to be ready to play?
Oh God, who knows?
I mean, he's a guy they just gave him money.
Yeah.
He's still a slacker, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Steve, you got any assignments coming up for the item?
Well, I would have gone to the prep game Saturday.
Oh, what a beauty that was.
Yeah, I'm very... that I didn't go. I went to Classical Revere,
mm-hmm.
and that was just the opposite of the prep game. That was like... It was like the old Casey Stengel. Can anybody here play this game?
Oh, wow.
Both coaches are great guys, so I can't get
right, going. Right, exactly, yep.
No, I'm going down the line. I'm covering Kip this week.
Okay.
Well, but, you know, they got a good guy as a coach, too, James Rabbit.
Yep.
So I'll be chasing the rabbit this week, as you used to say at Wonderland.
Okay. Well, that goes back. All right, Steve, we got to bring in Mike here. Hope I can call you again next week.
Sure you can. Say hi to Mike.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much. All right. Okay, that's
Steve. Bye.
Steve Krause, who was a sports writer. He's still writing. He was a sports editor and news editor for The Item. He's semi-retired and still writing sports now for The Item. And he does do columns on social media, and I can't quite nail it down as to where we can read them all the time. But his columns are so thoughtful, not only in sports, but also in life in general, in news and other commentary. His writing is absolutely spectacular. So I'm hoping someday we can get it on our site and keep promoting it. All right, Tim, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Mike Grenier. And again, it's, what do they say? No, I'm not going to say that, but it's sort of an open forum tonight. Whatever's on Mike's mind. I did ask him last week, he gave a really in-depth perspective of the Celtics last week, and I asked him if he would kind of take a look at and the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division, whatever it is, and I asked him if he'd take a look at the entire NBA for us this week. So let's see if he will do that. But we'll be back in a minute. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore with Tim Kearns. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Right, amazingly, as Tim said, we made it back with Mike Grenier, another super sports writer who's been around almost as long as I have. And
Babe Ruth, I think.
I know, man. I was thinking of Rabbit Marinville the other day and Shoeless Joe Jackson. I mean, what the hell? Where did that come from? Anyway, Mike, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. I know you've been having some fun with Steve, and the big guy is back here, Tim, so... We're going to have fun. I'd like to talk about the Celtics, which will begin this season on Wednesday. However, if you will allow me to vent for a minute, and then I would like to bounce this off of you. Tim, we follow college football. Rick, we follow college football. My favorite team is Notre Dame, the last 60 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But an appalling thing happened, in my opinion, and not just in my opinion. I think the whole country, some parts of the country were upset. Michigan State football, which has been a mess the last few years, and they lost to Michigan 49-0 on Saturday. Do you know where I'm going with this at all?
I do. You're talking about what was up on the screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Did you talk about it at all?
Nope.
Okay, just for people who didn't hear what's happened, prior to the game, on the big screen, it would be like the big screen at Gillette Stadium, they showed an image of Adolf Hitler. And it was a ha-ha moment because the trivia question was, where was this man born? And to begin with, that is completely inappropriate, but it's beyond that. It's reprehensible how any major college or even small college would allow that to happen is way beyond tasteless. And Michigan State apologized and said it was a third party, that the school itself had nothing to do with it. It was a third party that was involved in putting that trivia question together. And I don't know how Michigan State gets away without some kind of penalty from the conference, because that is just one of the worst things I've ever seen in a sports arena. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I saw the image and I'm thinking, where did this come from?
Right.
Who thinks to do that at any sporting event? How does it fit? And probably nobody knows the correct answer to that.
Right.
Football thing.
Right.
With college kids. But still.
Yep. And Rick, not only that, given the state of the world with Israel and the Gaza Strip, everything that's happening there, it made it even worse.
Yeah.
To put up Hitler's image. So, just totally reprehensible by Michigan State, and I hope they lose the next three or four games like 146-0. You know? So I'll leave that as a starting moment, but from there we can go on to more pleasant things. I just have to get off that off my chest, I think. You know what I mean, guys?
Well, I think given the climate today in the world, it's not only reprehensible, it's incomprehensible that somebody would do that. you know, given the climate between what's going on, in the Middle East and even here in this country and worldwide, it's like, what the hell? Yep. And, you know, I don't care how liberal you are or how conservative you are or what your politics are in college. I mean, come on, use the word, and Tim, get to join in on this one. I'm missing the understanding, or I think people are missing the understanding what civilization means in terms of civility, being civil. It's gone.
Yep. I couldn't agree more, Rick. Tim?
Yeah, you hate to get, throw back the political thing, but, when the leader of the country has no qualms over insulting and denigrating and just saying most absurd and low things about almost every group he could think of, everybody feels empowered. Well, listen, the president does it, I can do it too. And,
right.
And there's this climate of hate and disrespect, was validated to a lot of people who might have given it a second thought at one time.
Right.
But now it's, they feel like, they've been given permission to be that way.
Yeah, it's like, the horses have been released from the barn, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike,
we talked about
the Celtics last week, so you want to pick up on that? They made another addition or so, and then give us your thoughts.
Well, we've got, the season starts tomorrow with an overlooked team. How can they be overlooked? They're only the reigning champions, the Denver Nuggets, and they come back probably almost as good as last season because Jokic is still there and Jamal Murray is still there and Aaron Gordon is still there. They lost a couple of key guys off the bench. Bruce Brown, who's from Dorchester, Massachusetts, he got a better contract elsewhere, I think, with Indiana. So he's gone. Their bench won't be as good. However, you look at that team and I don't know how somehow some people are putting the Lakers ahead of them going into the season, or the Phoenix Suns seem to be popular because they added Bradley Beal and they still have Durant and they have Devin Booker. But the Denver Nuggets are still, until otherwise, still the team to beat, in my opinion, because they have great coaching. They have Jokic as their Gibraltar and some good people surrounding them. So that brings us over to the Eastern Conference, right, guys? And the Celtics start on Wednesday night. At Madison, I'm sorry, Tim. Do you want to say something about the Denver Nuggets, or?
No. I agree with you. It's like it's probably something that they've sort of enjoyed this particular position of flying under the radar, simply because it will allow them to maybe smooth out some things with, again, as you said, the loss of some key bench players. Now you thought it's going to have to go maybe a few more minutes in each game, and everybody's a year older. So they're going to have to find ways of, incorporating new bench players into the scheme of thing and get those guys, comfortable, in game conditions in the regular season, because preseason is one thing. Regular season becomes a totally different animal, as we all know. I think while everybody else is getting the attention, they're like, okay, let everybody look at these other guys, and we'll just be who we've been the last couple of years, and we'll go out, and we'll play, and we'll win, and then people will look up and go, oh, look where Denver is. And now,
right.
And now they're going to have to start paying attention to them.
But right.
Like I said, the Lakers have been getting a lot of ink. Phoenix has been getting a lot of ink. The Celts, with all their offseason moves and acquisitions, have gotten a lot of ink, and we know how close they came last year, and they're looking to avoid, the end of the year ending that they ran into last year. And so I think you're sometimes glad about being overlooked.
Oh, yeah. I think Denver probably comfortable with that position, Tim and Rick, because here they are, the champions, and they're the team to beat, and yet no one's really talking. It's not disrespect as much as they're kind of like being overlooked, ignored a little bit. So it's a great position to be in when you're the champion and there's not enormous pressure on you. There seems to be more pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics than there is on the Denver Nuggets. And speaking of the Boston Celtics, we go open Wednesday night. The Celtics open Wednesday night at the venerated Madison Square Garden, playing certainly a Knicks team that was improved, much improved last year once they added Jalen Brunson. And then the Celtics play their first home game Friday night against the always difficult Miami Heat, led by Coach Eric Spoelstra. So I think the race, Tim, I'm all excited about this Eastern Conference race because you're going to have the Celtics there. You're going to have the Milwaukee Bucks right there. And to us, the Miami Heat are sort of like a little bit lower on the radar, but I can see them causing a lot of conflict and damage to the top two teams as the season progresses and in the playoffs, because even though Miami did not get Damian Lillard in the offseason who they were trying to get, they have Tyler Hero, who broke his wrist early in the playoffs last year and missed the entire playoffs, including the series against the Celtics. They have him back. They have Bam Adebayo, a terrific big man, and they have, of course, Jimmy Butler. So they're a heck of a team. You know, Caleb Martin came off the bench last year, was tremendous, even against the Celtics in that series. So they're going to have a heck of a team, and it'll be an early test here for the Celtics on Friday night against the Miami Heat. But I love the Celtics starting five, Tim. I think, Rick, we mentioned last week it could be either Al Horford as that fifth starter, or it could be Derek White. And you, either way, that means you bring Derek White off the bench or Al Horford. That's a pretty good sixth man right there. So Jrue Holiday, true point guard, 14 years of experience, still can do it at 32 years of age, still averaged nearly 20 points a game last year. He is so experienced in every type of basketball situation. The pressure won't faze him. He won an NBA title with the Milwaukee Bucks just 2 or 3 years ago. So it's a great, I know people are still upset. They lost Marcus Smart, who's over there in Memphis. But to gain Jrue Holiday, because I love the move because he's a great two-way player. He's an outstanding, he's a better than average defender, and he's a tremendous point guard who can also score. So, you know, and I tell you what, Tim, I'd love to get your comment on this, and Rick too. Has there ever been a player, at least in recent years, more excited about joining a new team than Kristaps Porzingis? Everything he says about the Celtics is positive. Everything he says about his new teammates is positive. He's excited even in the preseason to play those preseason games, which are meaningless, because he wants that chemistry to form early on. I think he's going to love playing with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday and Al Horford and that whole group. I think he could be a terrific addition. And plus, not only that, he's 7'3". He averaged 23.5 points a game last year. He'll get you 9 or 10 rebounds. And, you know, the question with him has always been the injuries. But last year he played in 65 games. So it's a great pickup, I think, for the Celtics along with Jrue Holiday. It's obviously a very different look than last year because Marcus Smart won't be there. But you got Porzingis and you got Jrue Holiday. And I'll take my chances with their starting five on any of the 82 games they play.
Yeah, you know, I was online over the weekend, and there was an article. Who are the Celtics starting five?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got the first two, and then it's like, well, who's going to start with them? And it's almost, does it really matter?
Right.
Because everybody seems capable of being number three, four, and five. They're so interchangeable. Their skill sets are so similar. Their abilities are so similar. They're going to be the night. You can see them being the nightmare of the league, because when they roll more people out there, it's like quality hasn't gone down at all. Ability hasn't gone down at all. The ability to score hasn't gone down. You know, and it's like, Jesus, can these guys just stop this for a while? It's going to be like the same players with different names coming at you, and they can be really hard to stop. Now, like you said, injuries can certainly play a role in that. They've got to stay healthy, and we all know when a team can stay healthy, you know, they've got a good shot of going very deep, if not all the way. But it's so interesting to watch them in the preseason, and you're so right. They're a team that looks like they're having fun playing.
And yep, at least they sure did.
That preseason, now, does that translate to the regular season? I just go back and I just watched it for about the 97th time, the 86 Celtics. And you just watch that team and you go, and they talked about it. It was fun. You know, Bill Walton, he was just having the best time of his life.
Oh, he certainly was.
Being a backup on that team. Now, he's a guy who never played backup to anybody, and yet he played backup, but he played 60 out of 62 games. He stayed healthy that year, thank God. And what a difference maker he was. So if you know, these guys can come in, if they can stay healthy, stay positive, play with a great attitude that keeps you, you play with a great attitude, your skill level stays up.
Yep, there's no question about it. And Tim, of course, we have to mention Milwaukee Bucks because they're in the same category as the Celtics. Their big addition was Damian Lillard, who can go off anywhere from 30 to 50 points on a given night. And that's on a team that already has Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is arguably the best two-way player in the league, still can do it, and he's just like 29 years old. He's in the prime of his career. And, of course, you got Chris Middleton, who's a great scorer. You got Brook Lopez, who made all-defense first team last year. But as I mentioned last week, Tim, the thing about the Bucks is, you know, Lillard's like 33 years old. Brook Lopez is like 35 or 36 years old. They're a bit older, a bit longer in the tooth. Middleton has lost something on the defensive side, but he's still a great offensive player. So the question is, if you're talking about team health, there are more questions involving the Milwaukee Bucks than there are with the Boston Celtics. And I think, Tim, I want to get your, and Rick, you too, I'd love to get your comment on this. Both the Bucks and the Celtics come in with relatively inexperienced coaches. Obviously, Joe Mazzulla starting his second season, and you got Adrian Griffin, who replaced Mike Budenholzer, a veteran coach, with the Bucks. Adrian Griffin's like 49 years old. He's been an assistant for 12, 13, 14 years, but this is his first shot at being your head coach. And it's not an easy job, especially when you got an extremely talented team like he does. So who wins that matchup, Mazzulla versus Adrian Griffin? Both guys are, for the most part, still untested.
Well, I look at who the, you know, the Celtics last week brought in as a consultant.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's a guy who's been there, kind of done that, you know, has seen a whole lot. And does that give Joe that little bug in the ear to go, okay, here's how you want to lean. You want to think about doing this. Where he really, I don't think, had that last year. He's got a lot of guys in suit.
Right.
But what was the experience, the total experience level of all those guys trying to get a piece of his ear? You know, now he's got somebody who's going to be, you know, a lot more experienced having taken the advice and given the advice that he's going to be able to look back and go, yep, I can see that. And just not walk off on his own. So that could be as big a signing as anybody else this year.
Right, and of course, Sam Cassell.
You know, that's what I'm about you.
Yep.
And you can say Giannis' last name like nothing.
I thought the same thing too, Tim. Say it again. Say it again, Mike.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I got to save this tape and learn from it, and so I can pronounce it.
You know what? It took me 3 or 4 years to master that. so I wouldn't want anybody to just go this dive into that without putting a lot of time into it. Because, but he is obviously a great player, and the Bucks and the Celtics are going to stage a great race, and I think Miami Heat will be there to upset both teams. Along the line during the regular season, and of course the postseason is a whole different animal. But I'm hoping Mazzulla does improve as a coach because really, honestly, when you look back at last season, they had better personnel than the Miami Heat who played without Tyler Hero, and they lost to them in a 7-game series after being down 0-3 and winning 3 straight, and then coming back to the Garden and getting embarrassed basically in game 7. I thought that was a big letdown for Celtics fans who really, they've been patient. Celtics fans, when you think about it, they won back in 2008, but then we have to go back, Tim, to that great 1986 team you mentioned, That's one championship in 37 years, 36 years, 37 years right now, 2023.
Well, the thing is, they've given us hope every single year and
Since Tatum and Brown come along, they made the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been in the finals against the Golden State Warriors. So you're right, Rick. They've been a threat. They haven't gotten, you know, they've been diving off the deep end, but they haven't been able to come up for air with the championship trophy these last couple of years.
And what
extremely close.
What I'm optimistic about is what you guys said about Van Gundy and Joe Mazzulla. But I also listened to Brad Stevens the other day talk about the chemistry on this team in preseason, and it really sounds good that Tatum and Brown. Are sort of, God, they can't keep a low profile, but if you know what I'm trying to say, they're not demanding me. And they're, according to Stevens, they're welcoming. They understand the concept of, sacrifice for the team. And if so, that, I feel optimistic about that.
All right, and Rick, I couldn't agree more, but also too, I also like the fact that with Drew Holiday, he's going to be the controlling guard, the point guard. And I don't think we'll have to worry about Jason Tatum taking the ball up after a made basket. I think, to me, that's an important factor because Drew Holiday will get them into their offense quicker, and the Celtics have such athletic skill with Jaylen Brown and Tatum that they should be able to take advantage of that. And Drew Holiday is a very good passer, and I'm not forgetting Porzingis by any means because Porzingis can hit the three, Tim. We've seen that in the preseason. He's an excellent three-point shooter, but he also goes inside and hits that little foul line jumper that Robert Williams never mastered, of course. But Porzingis has been around long enough, and he averaged 23.2 last year. So, you know, he's going to ring up 20 points certain games and maybe 16, and then on some night when somebody else is off, he may go for 28 or 32. You know, and I love that, the fact that they have that third big-time scorer.
Yeah, you know, I saw him throwing a couple of threes the other night from downtown, and I'm like, oh, please get under the basket. I'm going, please don't make a habit of this because I'll just die all year long thinking, you know, there's a guy 7'3" who needs to be under there rebounding. And it's like, yeah, thank you for making the shot, but please get closer.
Well, you know, you're right. You made that point before, and I agree with you. But his game, obviously the modern NBA game, Tim, is we don't get those classic low post moves, you know?
Well, what I noticed, Mike, is that he pulls out the defensive center with him when he shoots those threes.
He sure does.
And by the way, those threes remind me of the shooting style, the mechanics remind me of Larry Bird. But he pulls out these guys, and I notice, if you notice in the rebounding, Tatum and Holiday, I mean, they're almost double figures in every single preseason game rebounding, as is Porzingis. So, you know, it might not be a bad thing, but I know what Tim is saying, and of course that's...
I do too.
You know, that's...
These are the David Collins, you know, scoring inside and then popping out to the foul line for a jump shot.
And that was considered a long-distance shot.
Right, exactly. For a center, it sure was, Tim, you know. But I love the makeup of the Celtics. It'll be certainly a different approach to the game with Marcus Smart out there. But I like what I've seen in the preseason. I also like the way Peyton Pritchard played in the preseason. He was tremendous. And, you know, they got to have help from the bench, obviously, throughout the season. And we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, that means Horford or Derek White, obviously, I think, had a tremendous preseason, Tim. Not only can he score, but he's an underrated defender. He's a great one-on-one defender who can block shots and stays with his man. He's a terrific all-around player.
Hey, who's the Lakers, the Laker all-star who said, I want to be more like Derek White?
that one escapes me. You know who that was? That was D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, about a week ago. I want to be more like Derek White.
Yeah, you know, what a great comment coming from a Lakers guy.
Yeah.
The commentators, I forget who the Celtics player, I don't know, New York, and the commentators made mention of that remark.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, what a compliment, huh? Jeez.
What a compliment, right? And Derek White is a perfect personality, too, to fit, because he's not looking to take over the scoring from Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Drew Holiday, for that matter, or Porzingis. He'll play a role as like the fourth or fifth scorer and play the tough defense, and he'll rebound a bit for you. He does a little of everything. He does everything so well.
You know, the other thing I want to ask you guys, and we're going past time here, I know, but it seems to me when we hear from Derek White and from Jaylen Brown and from others on this team, Al Horford, there's an intelligence level there that I don't think is that common among pro athletes. I could be wrong, but I'm saying it's above what most pro athletes are. Not to say that they're dummies. I don't mean that.
Right.
But these guys seem to be a cut above in terms of intelligence-wise, or at least in their conversations to the media.
No, I agree. And I think part of that, Rick, is that, like, for example, now Brown and Tatum have played together, what, 6 or 7 years in a row. And Derek White is just a true pro in every sense of the word, mm-hmm. as is Drew Holiday. And Porzingis seems like a bright young guy. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. I think they'll listen to Missoula. They badly want to win. They know that these Celtics have this phenomenal tradition, and the last championship was 15 years ago, so it's about time. And like you said, Rick, yes, they've been in the hunt, but I want them to finish the hunt. You know?
Yeah, don't we all? Hey, Tim, final thoughts.
Well, we just want to wish, you know, the South best of luck this season, and keep your head square on your shoulders, and play them one at a time, and before you know it, you're at you could be at game number 100. You know,
yeah.
The Bruins look like they're going to be an awful lot of fun. They had a solid win last night.
Yes.
So you hope they continue because they look fast, they look strong, they got their snipers. You know, and the new kid had 2 points, two goals last night.
Right, and we know that Chris Sale is going to be the opening day pitcher for the
All right, Mike, we were on a high note here.
Okay, I had a little levity after that Michigan State stuff.
Yes, you did. But you know what? What if that really happens? And they win 150 games?
Ryan.
All right, how many games will the Celtics have played by this time next week? Two or three?
Two, I think, because they've got the Knicks, Miami, and then they come back to play the Indiana Pacers, I believe, next. That'll be it. As of next Monday, I think it's just the two games.
All right. So when we talk to you next week, let's hope it's 2-0.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, I'm just looking forward to the entire season because the personnel on both the Celtics and Bucks are great, and also to the Miami Heat are going to be chasing them. You know,
I'm looking forward to listening from our listening to our basketball insider. This is so much fun. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, you guys, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you be well.
Bye bye now.
Take care. Whew. All right, Tim, you're back. You're back in the saddle, man.
I am.
You are.
Good.
Oh yeah, and you're right. We'll talk about the Bruins because I'm my daughter Mindy is a Bruins fan of the nth degree, and they've been fun to watch. I've watched most of the first five games, and you talk about unselfish play, but also Brad Marchand, damn, good choice as a captain. He's done well.
Yeah, you know, you need someone who you need a veteran, you need leadership, you need someone who's going to not be afraid to get into people's faces either.
No, he hasn't pulled back at all. I mean, he's not, hopefully not playing dirty or, you know, licking people.
He plays hard.
Or licking people in the face, but what?
He plays tippy.
Yeah, know? Oh yeah, oh definitely, definitely. But the point of it is that, you know, it shows up in the scoreboard. He scores, he lifts the other guys, and I forget who it was, but one of the younger guys, or maybe a couple of them were saying they were thrilled to be playing on his line because he's such a pro, and you call him slippery. He can just get open. So it's great to see that, but they're playing well overall, and it gives us hope.
It really does.
All right, Coach. I'm gonna go watch the Phillies here in a little while. Hey, thanks, man. I'm glad you're back safe and sound. Hope you enjoy your brother's company for as long as he's home.
I will definitely do that.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks, Tim. Talk to you later.
All right. The family for me.
Thank you, Tim. Will do. All right, that's Tim. That's Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst and our goodwill ambassador. And of course, we talk with Mike Grenier and Steve Krause, who are Mike's our basketball insider, but they're both longtime sports journalist on the North Shore, writing for so many different sports and papers and media, and just incredibly knowledgeable and generally, not generally, but always very positive. So thank you to one and all. Thanks for joining us. You can get a hold of us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Don't forget, we'll be dropping the sports desks on Thursday. Dominic Nicastro hosting both the Merrimack Valley and the North Shore sports desks on Thursday. And Bill Newell talking with the Salem sports writers. That usually drops on Tuesday. So check that out and stay with us. And by the way, check out North Shore Today. Every day, Bill Newell puts together a daily North Shore news magazine along with a podcast, a sports and news podcast, every single day that it's guaranteed to touch somebody somewhere on the North Shore and give you some information. So check it out, please, at msonewsports.com. So on behalf of our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, I'm Rick Moore, wishing you a very pleasant good evening. Be well, be safe, and do the right thing.